AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning, Sib.
And me, Sybil Summers. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053. You can also fan text us at 43733. Waddle's on our board today. Tamondrick, the preacher man, is screening your phone calls, so be sure to give us a call. We got a lot of good stuff coming up on today's show. And you can also call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Or you can go to AutoFlex.com. And also, at AutoFlex.com, you can see all of the stories that we're going to do on the show today and a lot more auto news, automotive news, on the Facebook or the Twitter feed.
And we give you helpful hints and good things like that when you're in the market for a new car.
Yeah, in fact, that's part of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to start off with things to look for when you're out buying a used car, because so many people now are considering a used car rather than buying a new car. And, of course, we've always advocated that. If you're going to buy a car, you should buy a used car. So stay with us, folks. We're not going to try to sell you on leasing for the next 60 minutes. We're not going to try to tell you that all car dealers are bad. What we're going to do is we're going to give you some advice. We're going to help you out in if you're in the market. And we're going to talk a little bit politics and the politics of the car business and a lot of other cool stuff today that you'll feel a little better informed when you're finished.
Plus, as always, we've got our superstars in their supercar segment.
Absolutely. Steve Carsey is going to be with us for a great interview. Steve's been a good customer of AutoFlex since 2003.
That's coming up at 9:30, so stick around. You won't want to miss it.
You know, that's sort of timely because Steve played for the Yankees, and then he played for the Rangers, and as everyone knows, the Rangers and the Yanks are playing right now. Rangers up one.
We're on top of it.
Yep.
All right, so let's get into this first and foremost, because a lot of people are out there maybe looking for a used car, and we've all heard the old term, kick the tires. But there's a lot more you need to be doing if you are in the market for a pre-owned car.
You know, there is, and there's a couple of things that you can do to really, really keep from getting hurt. And they're pretty simple stuff. One is a car history. Get a car history on the title of the car. Find out where it was titled. Find out how many owners it's had. Be especially aware if it has been moved from state to state in a very short period of time. Say a car starts in Texas, it's sold at auction, and it goes to Florida. It's sold at auction in Florida within a 2 or 3 week period, and it comes back to Texas. That's a red flag.
And why is that?
Well, because if the owner had sent the car to Florida to sell it to make more money, that means it's worth more money in Florida than it is in Texas. Why would he then turn around and send the car back to Texas?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make any sense. So a lot of times that's done maybe to get a fresh title on the car. They send it out there. They title the car in Florida because the Texas title might have had a problem on it, might have shown an accident, or maybe it was a limited law buyback car. They get a fresh title in Florida. Then they bring the car back to Texas. They retitle the car in Texas, and they have a clear title now without any branding on it.
It's definitely fishy.
Well, yeah, and it indicates that there was a problem. Service history. Service history is very important on a car, especially if you're buying a premium car. The manufacturers all have good records of the car's service history. So with the VIN number, you can contact one of the manufacturer's service departments and ask them about the service history on the car. They can give you a complete printout. Now, they may charge you a little bit, but it's much better to know if you've got a 60,000-mile car that's been serviced regularly or one that hasn't seen the service department for the last 45,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the inspection of the car. The most important thing, look at the car. Check it closely. If you know what you're doing, then you know what to look for. Check all of the edges of the panels to see if any of them have a ridge. Because when a car is painted at the factory, all of those edges will be very smooth, just like the top of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Once paintwork has been done, it usually leaves a rough edge or a ridge right on the edge of the panels, the backs of the fenders, the rear of the hood, the rear and front edges of the doors, the rear and the bottom edge of the deck lid. You'll be able to feel it and sometimes see it. So that way you'll know whether it's had paint on those panels. Look in the trunk. It should be clean. Look under the mat. Is there any signs of dirt under the mat? Because it's really hard to get dirt under the mat unless it's washed there.
What do you mean?
If the car's been underwater, you get dirt and stuff in really strange places. If you unplug some of the plugs under the hood and you find like dirt inside the plug, good indicator that the car has been underwater, because there's no way for dirt to get up in there unless it's washed up in there and then later dried out. Smell the car. If it's been underwater, it's going to have a musty smell, or it may have a musty smell. You can also tell by looking under the seats of the car. You shouldn't have any dirt or debris under the seats. It's really hard to get there. If you do, more signs of a car that maybe have been underwater. And a lot of times, there's no way to tell other than checking the car. Finally, if you're not really into all that, have somebody inspect the car for you. It costs $100. If you're thinking about spending thousands, it's worth $100 to have someone really look at the car for you. And there's a couple of companies out there that do a good job of it. Lemon Busters is one. They'll do a mechanical and a body inspection for you. Property Damage Appraisers, PDA, they'll do the same thing for you. Crawford & Company, another company that's been around for years and years, and they do inspections for individuals. So you can go out and have them look at the car and then get an expert report on what's wrong with the car or what they can find as far as the history. See if it's got a trailer hitch. What were they pulling? Were they pulling a little light sailboat, or were they pulling an 8-horse trailer? Because heavy trailer puts extra wear and tear on the engine and the transmission of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Check the tires. How much wear is on the tires? You know, a lot of people don't really consider that a lot, but that's one of the first things that you might have to replace if the tires don't have enough wear on them. Make sure the wear is even. If they're worn heavily on the inside or the outside, it could indicate a problem with the suspension on the car. If they're worn heavily on the inside and the outside, it's going to mean they're going to need to be replaced. And a good way to check the old car is use a penny. In the center of the tire, slide a penny in and see if Abe's head touches the tread. If Abe's head doesn't touch the tread, then you need to replace that tire. Okay?
Okay.
That's one of the old rules. Yes. So that's a good way to check the tires. Look at the dashboards, check the seat belts to make sure they function all right, because they're darned expensive to replace if they don't. Make sure you check the air conditioning, the heater. Look at the glass for cracks, chips. Look all around the edges, because that could be a problem later on in getting an inspection. Check the inspection sticker. One of the other indicators of a problem with the car is the inspection sticker may be a month or two out of date.
Mm.
What they've done is they've taken it in to get it inspected. It wouldn't pass. It's going to be expensive to fix. Sell the car.
Right.
So check the inspection sticker and make sure it's in date and it's been recently replaced. You just sort of got to check everything on the car. Now, I guess the final thing I'll say is you can always do the smart thing, and that is get a car from a licensed dealer that certifies their pre-owned cars so that you know that you're getting a good car. They've been over the car. It's been inspected. The belts, the tires, all the fluid levels are good, and the fluids have been changed. And you get a little bit of extra security in doing that rather than buying a car from an individual. But if you're going to buy a car from an individual, please do all of the above, because it may be great or it could be really, really bad.
So if you want this checklist that we kind of went over, you can go to autoflex.com and click on our Facebook or our Twitter page. Follow along with all the stories we discuss right here on the show. Now, all the people are talking about electronic cars and hybrid cars and green cars, not the color green, but green as in the environment. And it turns out Kelley Blue Book has put out a list of the best ones out there.
KBB has published their annual list, their new annual list, of the top green cars for 2011. And, this is a very subjective kind of list, and we'll talk about why in a little bit, but a lot of people want to be green right now. It's really popular. So their number one green car for 2011 is the Nissan Leaf.
All electric.
All electric. 99 miles per gallon is what they say it gets the equivalent of. A lot of the car is made from recycled material like old home appliances, old car parts, plastic models. Things like that are used extensively in the construction of the car.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either until I read this, actually. I've not even driven a Leaf yet. So I'd like to drive one to see what the car feels like and drives like.
They're hard to come by, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Chevrolet Volt, again, a little hard to come by. This is the hybrid electric. It's got an electric motor. It's also got a small gasoline motor. Gets the equivalent of 93 miles per gallon as per KBB. And it's sort of a cool car. I mean, it's a cool looking car. Mm-hmm. Next, if I were choosing off this list, I'd probably go with number three, which is the Toyota Prius. Been around a long time. Does what it's supposed to do. It is a hybrid, and you can drive it like you drive any other car. You don't have to worry about running out of electricity. It runs and drives beautifully because it's a Toyota product, and it's not terribly expensive. If you looked at the Leaf or the Volt, you're going to spend quite a bit of money for those cars. The Prius is down around $20,000, which makes it a very affordable hybrid.
It's really nice on the inside, too. It's not like, you know, some of the other cars when you're not spending as much money aren't very nice on the inside. But that one's got good quality.
You know, the other thing about it is the first time you drive it, and again, I've not driven an all-electric yet, other than a golf cart. The first time you drive it, you start it, and you start driving, and it makes no noise.
Uh-huh.
And that's the hardest thing to get used to.
Yeah, because you're wondering if it's on. I can't imagine how many people try to restart it again and again.
And it's already on. Anyway, Prius is great. Next car on their list, the Lexus CT200H, which is their sporty hatchback hybrid. And that's a really good car. It develops 42 miles per gallon, or it gives you 42 miles per gallon. Certainly not an inexpensive way to go, but it's a great car.
Is that a new model? A CT200?
No, they've just rebadged a Lexus Model and IS and made a hybrid out of it. Then you've got the Honda Insight, which is the perennial winner of all hybrids. Been around for a zillion years, almost. Been around since the 90s. And it's $18,950.
Nice.
So as hybrids go, it's pretty darn inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the Ford Fusion Hybrid. Now, the Ford Fusion sedan was already popular. They've put it out in a hybrid model, and it gets 39 miles per gallon. So that's really, really good. Interestingly enough, the Focus, which is a much smaller car that Ford makes, gets 40 miles per gallon, is not a hybrid, and costs a whole lot less. Volkswagen Golf TDI, I love the car, 2.0 turbo diesel. It is a diesel. You get 42 miles per gallon. It's very affordable. Car's been built for a long time, and a lot of people that want to save fuel choose that GTI Golf. The Hyundai Elantra is number 8 on their list. Good selling car, good mileage. The Fiat 500 somehow is on their list, and I don't know anyone that's even seen one, much less driven it.
I was going to say that. I haven't seen those over here yet.
Yeah, and it's a 101-horsepower engine. Should deliver better than 30 city, 38 highway, but it's a very small car to get that kind of mileage. So that's KBB's list. I would point out to consumers that you can also choose a lot of other gasoline cars that will give you the same kind of efficiency for thousands of dollars less. So it's cool to be green. It's according to how much money you want to spend to do it.
Or if the car's even over here, like the Fiat 500.
Yes.
Okay. Well, coming up next, we are going to get into Hyundais and Kias and Japan and the effect that it's had on the auto industry. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex Lease,
oh yeah. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Do the dance, David. Do the dance. This is usually one that gets us going right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Love the Beach Boys.
By Autoflex Leasing. That's right. David Blassingame and me, Sybil Summers, in studio today till 10 o'clock, taking your phone calls. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. You can also fan text us at 43733. And those are starting to come in, by the way.
A lot of them. I was just reading something that was on, I guess, one of the earlier shows about a woman in Australia who burned her husband's wankle in order to save their marriage.
Wankle?
And we're not talking about the rotary engine. Okay. Here we go. If I get into a wreck, I don't want to drive in a car made out of recycled toasters. That's one text. That's good.
That's because we were talking about the Nissan Leaf actually being made from recycled
home
materials.
Appliances.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Green cars are only good if we can stop these wildfires. All the smoke isn't green. Certainly agreed. Does Autoflex buy car loans and lease the vehicle back to the owner? Yes, we do. We do a lot of financing of people that are at the end of their lease also. Their lease is up, and they don't really want the car to go back because maybe it's got really low miles, or they love the car, or they know how it's been serviced, or maybe they're going to give it to one of the kids. So they call us, no matter where they lease the car, and we do the financing on the end of the lease to help them keep the car.
That's right. So if you're interested in that, you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234.
Mm-hmm. Or autoflex.com.
Absolutely.
So March 11th, my birthday, was when the big earthquake hit in Japan and, of course, caused a major tsunami, which led to flooding. And now a lot of the country has been shut down.
Yeah, you know, and we haven't really begun to see the effects of what this is going to do to the car business and probably a lot of other businesses. But there's a couple of interesting things that are going on right now within the industry. Hyundai and Kia, which are Korean cars, and they have big facilities building cars here, and they have a lot of their components built in Korea, have not been affected like Toyota, Honda, Mazda, Nissan have. So Hyundai and Kia are making hay while the sun shines. They are kicking up the production at their factories all over the world. Their plant, the Hyundai plant in Montgomery, Alabama, they're increasing their production by 10% on Sonatas and Elantras.
Wow.
That's a lot of cars because that's actually 30,000 cars more they plan on building this year. The Kia plant in Westport, Georgia, has extended its work shifts every day for all its workers. So what we're seeing is they haven't been affected, and they are gaining market share on the vehicles that have been affected. And, you know, it's not just Honda and Toyota and Nissan, because General Motors and Ford and Chrysler all use parts that were involved in the earthquake or the tsunami. The manufacturers of the parts were damaged or shut down.
So it's affecting a lot of the manufacturers.
It is. Well, General Motors has slowed down their workforce. They're putting out less and less cars. So are Ford, so are Chrysler, because they just don't have the components to build the cars with.
Is that going to make those brands go up in price if somebody wants a GM?
It's already started. Yeah. A lot of the manufacturers have started pulling back on the rebates that they were offering on their cars because there won't be enough cars, so they don't have to offer rebates. Right now, it looks like that about 1.5 million autos will not be built this year because of the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. Honda has curbed a lot of their daily production. Nissan has closed down their plants in Tennessee and Mississippi for 6 days and 5 days, respectively, because they cannot get the assembly parts that they need.
Oh, wow.
Mazda has stopped taking orders for cars built in Japan, which are 5 of their 7 lines, for the whole month of May. You can't order one. So what we're seeing is that it's not just the cars that aren't going to be built, but a lot of other cars that weren't being built in Japan won't be built because you can't get the components. Now, why can't you? Well, let's go to Freescale Semiconductor, which is actually an Austin company. But Freescale had a big manufacturing plant in Sendai, which was affected markedly. In fact, it was almost the center of the earthquake. So on March 11th, the earthquake hits their plant in Sendai. That shuts them down. They supply ECM controllers. In other words, the microchips that go into the controller for the engine and everything on the car.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of those for all the manufacturers in the world.
Uh-oh.
They have just announced that they're not even going to try to reopen that plant. It's just too damaged. They were going to close the plant down anyway. They'd planned on closing it down, but not right away.
Right.
Now, with all that damage, they're just not going to reopen it. So they've had to shift manufacturing on those ECM chips and the other chips that they build to other manufacturing plants. Now, they do have a manufacturing plant in Austin. They're going to shift part of the manufacturing to there. But the bottom line is there's a whole lot of parts that won't be built that go into cars and other things.
And nowadays, everything is electronic and power in your vehicle. So it's really hard to do it without those microchips.
It is. You know, Freescale is a spinoff of Motorola. It's actually the number two maker of automobile microcontrollers. So when they lose a plant like this, it's going to affect the business. Also, Renesas Electronics, which is a Japanese company, it has 19% of the global market total. I'm sorry. It has 41% of the global market, and it was badly damaged also in Japan. So what we're seeing is the microchip production in Japan has been markedly hurt, and it's going to affect the car business. And if you're out there in the market for a car, I can tell you, do it now. Don't wait 2 months, because in 2 months they're going to be a lot more expensive. The rebates will be gone, and it's just demand and supply. I mean, it's how the world works, but it's going to affect it. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen.
And like we just mentioned, it's not just the Japanese manufactured cars. It's going to be GMC and Chrysler because they get some of the parts from Japan.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's going to affect all of them. And you're going to see the they're not going to be able to produce the number of cars that they planned on producing.
Yikes. So if you want a new car or if you are maybe trying to downsize because gas prices are going up, now's the time. We've been warning people, and Grego from Rage had a story out this week that gas prices are about to reach $5 before the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I believe that, and you have to really consider where the story came from, because the last time we saw a run-up of gasoline, a lot of the run-up was caused by futures traders, people that are in the oil business currently. So you heard one owner of an oil company get up and predict $5 a gallon gas, and all he was trying to do was push the futures trading up because it drags the price of gasoline currently with it. If it's going to be worth $5 a gallon in a year, gosh, it's got to be worth more now.
It's amazing that he's got that much power where they can just go, we think it's going to be this much. And then it is.
Yeah, you also saw big corporations that had big stakes in petroleum futures doing the same thing. Some big banks had their spokesman coming out talking about $5 a gallon gas. I can tell you this for sure. I saw gas at $3.99 for regular at the Shell station right here at the corner by the station this morning.
Wow.
$3.99 for regular. $3.99.9. Is that $4 a gallon, folks?
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
So it's going up, and the more it goes up, the more we'll see a reaction like this. This is a fan texter. David, I wanted to tell you about my 2008 Ford Focus. I bought an 08 when gas was $4 a gallon. I'm now getting 26 miles per gallon in the city and 38 miles per gallon in the on the highway.
Nice.
It seems to get better with age. So, you know, if you traded back then, it was a good thing to do. I would not trade at the expense of thousands of dollars. We saw people back then trade in pickup trucks and SUVs that they were way upside down and they owed a lot more than the car was worth. And they would lose $6,000 or $7,000 in order to get a car that would give them a better gas mileage. It takes a lot of gas mileage difference to make up $6,000 or $7,000. So you have to look at the dollar equation and see if it makes sense to trade. Now, if your car is free and clear and you can get good money for it, why not? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to, or if you're right side up, at least if you're even in the car, trade and save some gasoline. But if you're way upside down, then you really need to look at the dollar figures to see if it makes sense to trade.
Okay, and AutoFlex can help you out with all that. If you're not good at math like me and like the guys I work with during the week, then they can you can go in there and they'll enter all the numbers and all the factors into the FlexLease computer program, and they will figure out the formula that works best for you. So if you want to call, it's 817 or 972-234-1234. You can also head to the website at autoflex.com. David, we got another fan text here at 43733. Does AutoFlex do leases without dinging me too much because I put high miles on vehicles?
God, that's a great question. Here's why. You do pay more when you drive more miles on a lease. But the other side of the story is you do pay more when you drive more miles when you buy the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more miles you put on the car, the less it's going to be worth when you resell it. What the lease does is takes that into account on the front end. Because on the lease, you're paying for the part of the car you're using while you're using it. So if you increase the number of miles on a lease, it will increase your monthly payment, but at the end, you're still even. If you buy the car and you drive more miles, you're going to get less for it when you sell it. So it balances out. There's actually no magic. It works the same. So if you pay a little higher monthly payment, at the end of the lease, you're even, and you get a new car. If you buy the car and you go to trade it in, you can be upside down a long time because of the higher miles. And let me tell you how it doesn't work for a lot of people. They're going to drive high miles. They go out to buy a car and then they finance it for 5 or 6 years. Now, you're going to put a lot of miles on the car. Three and a half years into the deal, you're going to have a car with 90,000 miles on it and you're going to owe a whole lot more than the car's worth. Because you financed it for a long term and you've depreciated the car rather quickly. So what the lease does is gives you the ability to trade when you want to and not be terribly upside down, have to come out of pocket with thousands of dollars like if you'd bought the car and financed it over a long term.
Is there a magic number people need to look for? Like they keep a car for a certain number of years or before it reaches a certain mileage, they should try to trade out?
The reality is every 10,000 miles, a car will drop a little bit. The big points are 50,000 miles. That's a big point because a lot of warranties end at 50,000 miles, which means that whoever you sell the car to won't be able to get as good an extended warranty on it because it's out of its initial warranty page. So 50,000 period, 50,000 miles is one point, 60,000 is another. If you're up around 90 or 100, those are big also. But every 10,000 miles, you're going to see a little bit of a drop. The big drop, 50 and 60,000. Most people like to trade between 3.5 or 4 years. A good way to look at that is if you can afford the payment to finance the car for that period of time, then finance the car. If you can't, if you're going to trade every 3.5 or 4 years, you probably should lease the car because if you're financing for a longer period of time and you're trading before the car is paid for, you're always going to have a car payment. If you lease the car, you're always going to have a car payment, but it's going to be less than if you financed it.
All right. Coming up next, it is Steve Carsey. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We are now joined by former Major League Baseball pitcher Steve Carsey, who played the majority of his career with the Oakland A's, but you briefly joined us down here in Texas. Do you still keep in touch with any of the Rangers?
Not the guys that I played with. There's a few that I've kept in touch with going down to the ballpark, and since I've played for quite a few teams, when the visiting team comes in, I also get to see those guys too.
Good morning, Steve. David here. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, David.
You know, when I read about you, you always talk about chemistry, and you played for the Yanks, and then you played for the Rangers. Can you give us a quick description of the difference of the chemistry of the Yankees when you played for them and then the 2005 Rangers, and what kind of difference did that make for the teams, do you think?
Well, for me, I mean, chemistry is a huge issue, and you can see that with the Texas team of last year that got to the World Series. They had a great group of guys. They were really all on the same page, and they played for each other. And it was the same way with the Yankees back in 2002 when I played. We had a great group of guys and played for each other. And it makes a huge deal to win. I mean, guys come to the ballpark and they just put everything they got out on the field, and it usually works out. When chemistry is not very good, and you have egotistical players and players that would just play for themselves, you can really tell on the other side of the field that's just not a good way to go.
So give us the scoop. Who was the most egotistical player that you had to experience?
Oh, you really going to put me on the spot?
Well, putting you on the spot.
Well, for me, A-Rod has to be kind of top of the list that I've played with.
Lives up to the stereotype.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who is a great player, and take nothing away from that. He goes out there and plays hard and puts up the numbers. But you know, he's one of those guys who knows it and can sometimes be a little standoffish.
Would Jeter be in there too?
You know, to be honest with you, Jeter is a complete 180 from what people would expect. He's the most down to earth, easygoing guy that I've ever played with.
Steve, I got to ask a couple of questions because I'm an older guy. What was Yogi Berra like to work with a guy like that?
You know, being in camp and being from New York and reading about Yogi all the time, what a wonderful man he is. He's really down to earth. He's genuine. He loves to talk the game of baseball. And for somebody like myself, when I'm sitting in front of Yogi and listening to his stories about the Yankees in the 40s and the 50s, I just sit there in awe and can sit there all day. I remember one time talking to him during a rain delay, and the game was about to start in 5 minutes, and I'm still there, don't have my uniform on and got to get to the bullpen and listening to Yogi just tell story after story after story.
You know, you sort of grew up on the Mets side of town, but I guess you've always been a Yankee fan. The first time you walked on the field during a game in the pinstripes, can you describe that for us?
Yeah, it's hard to describe. I think after I signed with them, that was one thing. But getting the spring training and then getting into old Yankee Stadium, and stepping on the field for the first time, it gave me chills. You know, I went there as a kid. You know, I used to watch guys like Ron Guidry, you know, Thurman Munson, Reggie Jackson, just Goose Gossage, tons of guys. And to step on the field and actually look in the mirror and see the pinstripes physically on you, and you're playing for your hometown team in front of friends and family, it's really a humbling experience and really one that I'll never forget.
Probably made you a better player too, huh?
If you surround your type, if you surround yourself with those type of players that the Yankees put on the field year in and year out, it can only make you better.
Steve Carsey joins us here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive with David, Stephanie, and Sybil.
Hey, Steve, another question about the Rangers. The Yankees. What do you think they're going to need this next year to get back to where they believe they should be all the time, which is the World Series?
Yeah, well, you know, with the Yankees, I think they have had a core group of guys for a very long time. And in my eyes and in my opinion, you know, these guys are getting older. They're losing a little bit, you know, of a step. And I think that they really need to surround themselves with another young group of core guys that they can bring up into the big leagues and really establish themselves and get the Yankees back to where they were. I mean, obviously the Yankees have the wherewithal with their payroll to go out and buy as many players as they want, but you know, that can only help you to a certain point. And that was obvious last year when the Rangers played the Yankees in for the pennant, and the Rangers, you know, were younger, faster, and had more of a step on the Yankees throughout that series, and that really made the big difference for me.
Hey, Steve, it's Stephanie. We could talk about sports all day, but let's talk about some of your cars you've gotten with us. I didn't realize that we've been doing your cars since 2003 and that we've done five just in that short amount of time. Do we do it easy enough for you?
Oh, it's amazing. You guys put a team together that's second to none. I mean, yeah, we've been working together since 2003, and, you know, every time I make a phone call to you, it's as easy as pie to get things done, and you guys are on top of the game and really pertain to the customer, what the customer needs.
What's the most recent car you got from Autoflex?
The most recent car I just purchased from you guys was the Tahoe, and it's wonderful. I've only had it for a day, but you know, it's one of those things where you know, we've had an addition to our family with a little boy, and we need the room, and it was just it was the right car for us, and you went above and beyond helping us you know, achieve what we wanted to get in the Tahoe.
Also, I noticed you've driven a couple of Lexuses. What do you think about that car, Steve?
I like the Lexus. The Lexuses drive great. I mean, you know, they're an SUV, sport utility vehicle, but it drives like a car, and, you know, it's one of those things, you know, whether it was the Range Rover or the Lexus, we may have stuck with that if we didn't need the room. But nowadays, sometimes you got to put a little bit of luxury aside for the room.
Yeah, especially with a growing family. Hey, one more thing on the Rangers. Josh Hamilton broke his arm. How much of an effect do you think that's going to have on this team and their run for the playoffs this year?
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, unfortunately, Josh, you know, from what I've read, went headfirst into home plate and really did some damage, and it's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. But, you know, that hurts them. It's nice that the Rangers have a powerful lineup with the guys like Michael Young and Kinsler and Nelson Cruz in it. And I think they'll be able to withstand playing in the West, you know, any type of run from those other teams. But they definitely need to get Josh back as quick as possible and get him back to hitting and make that run for the playoffs again like they did last year.
Steve Carsey on with us, the Saturday Morning Test Drive with David Blassingame, Stephanie Boozer, and me, Sybil Summers. Now, Steve, what are you up to these days? Do you have any charity that you're working on? I know you said you're building your family.
Yeah, doing that. I mean, I'm helping, you know, some of the kids that I've coached when they were 15 years old here in the Dallas area. And also working with a friend of mine on some aerospace manufacturing. So, I mean, I got my hands full.
It sounds like it. Do you have a Twitter or anything, a website that you'd like to promote?
You know, I don't. It's just one of those things where sometimes I just don't have enough time for any of that kind of stuff.
Steve, one other question on cars. What's a car out there right now that you'd really like that you don't have, but maybe a dream car, maybe your next car?
Yeah, you know, growing up in New York, you don't really get into cars so much like some of the other areas in the country. But, you know, I've always enjoyed looking at cars and seeing what is out there. But, you know, a 911 Porsche would definitely be one of those that would be on the top of my list. I was able to test drive a few back in the day in the 90s in Phoenix on PIR Raceway, and they brought us out to test drive some when I was playing with the A's, and it was a lot of fun.
And I'm sure as Kingston gets older, he'd probably appreciate Dad having that Porsche.
Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't mind, you know, jumping on in that and taking his little date out at some point. But that's a long ways away.
All right. Well, Steve Carsey, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to join us here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. And we wish you the best of luck with your son and with your science projects.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
So there you have it, Steve Carsey in our Superstars and their Supercar segment right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Coming up next, we're going to get into consumer confidence and whether or not you're a little bit jittery about getting into a new car. So stay tuned. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with your hosts David Blassingame and me, Sybil Summers. We're going to be here for the next 15 minutes, so if you do have a question for David, maybe you're thinking about getting into a new car, maybe you've got a question as far as what will work for you, or you just want to compare a couple of cars side by side, you can call us. 877-881-1053. Also the fan text 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. You can go to AutoFlex.com, apply for a car online, see all our great pre-owned cars. And if you're interested in the stories that we're doing here, you can go to AutoFlex.com, click on the Twitter or Facebook feed, and see all of these stories, plus a lot more automotive news.
And why else should they call you?
Because we are the good guys.
And you are the good guys. I have a proof positive right here in my little hand. And this is a client letter from a satisfied AutoFlex Leasing client. He says, Mr. Stritmatter, who's an AutoFlex Leasing specialist, was really good and upfront with what car and the structure to make me the happiest. The AC went out in my previous car, and he met me at my wife's work knowing that he was going to have to drive back in the Texas heat with no air. Says volumes about him. He's a great representation of your company, and I would refer anyone to him. He actually stole me from another leasing company with his dedication and communication.
Yeah, William is a great, great guy. He's just a good, good guy. He's really not exceptional, though. I mean, I think all of our leasing specialists are the same. They really do provide a great service. That's the difference in us and everyone else, is we provide a really, really great service every time.
Mm-hmm. He says, William Stritmatter was professional, and his level of customer service was part of the reason that you got my business. Price, of course, was the main reason.
It's always important.
Yes.
Really quickly, text from the fan text, what are Zipcars? Zipcar is a company that has 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour rental cars. So you rent a car by the hour. They're located mostly in big metropolitan areas where a lot of people don't actually own a car, maybe use public transportation, and they need a car for a short period of time. So they can go to a Zipcar service and they can literally put their credit card in and zip, rent a car, use it for a couple hours and bring it back.
I've never heard that term.
They just got $174 million in their IPO this last week.
Wow.
To get started with.
Is it like fancy luxury cars? Like you'd rent it for a movie shoot or something?
No, you know, it's everything. It's mostly commuter cars, but everything. They've got a little of everything.
Cool.
And they charge by the car.
All right, then. So we were talking just before we went to that break about people being a little bit hesitant. You know, the economy was so bad and now it's slowly rebuilding, but people are still a little bit hesitant to go out there and make a major purchase.
Well, you know, I brought the story that we did back in January when consumer confidence was really starting to upswing. And in January, there were, you know, the Gallup people said in their surveys that things were getting better. And the level of confidence was the highest it had been since January of 2008, before the economy really turned. So it was at 48.7, which was great. This month, it is down to 33%.
And yikes.
A lot of it may have to do with gasoline prices.
That's what I would say.
Because when gas starts going up, everyone gets nervous. Everyone goes, oh my God, what's going to happen next? The reality is probably a lot worse than the dread. Sort of like getting, you know, going to the doctor to get a shot.
Right.
The dread's a lot worse than the reality. But it's way, way down from where it was. And so it's sort of interesting that the price of gasoline has so much to do with our everyday life, with how we think, with how we deal with things.
Well, and it makes sense because if you look at your bank account and you have X amount of dollars in it and you go and normally you'd pay, say, $40 to fill up your car, but suddenly now you're paying $60 for people who live paycheck to paycheck or don't have as much money as they'd like to have, that is a drastic impact. You know, suddenly they don't have that extra $20 that they usually use on coffee in the morning,
right,
or that extra $20 that they use on snacks at lunch or whatever it might be. So that makes them hesitant to want to spend any more because then they feel like they have to save it up for gas and anything else that comes up.
Yeah, it is. It's indicative of the American people. I think we have a very, very, we react to something very radically.
Mm-hmm.
We react strongly, but we have very short memories. So as soon as things get a little better, we all start feeling great again.
We're very forgiving.
Yeah, we are. Or forgetful.
Right. I don't know which one's better. Okay, so David, you've been buzzing about this all week, and I know we have a few minutes to get into it, but a lot's going
Not
on
long.
Out in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, the Federal Trade Commission was given authority to regulate automotive dealers of all kinds, everything from large mega dealers to small lots on the corner that are owned by an individual. And so they've begun having hearings on the regulation of automotive dealers. And it's really sort of an unusual kind of situation. Here's the inside story, folks. I actually was considered for one of the panels. They are going to put this off because it does not concern leasing. The first one didn't concern leasing, so I'm going to be considered to be on another panel when they do hear about leasing. But this was about retail car sales, and they're wondering if we need to have further regulations of dealers. The interesting thing may be the fact that there's already regulations and laws that control dealers. The basis for this panel was really a movement from the military to get military members protected because the feeling from the military was that military people have to go to car lots that are around the bases to get cars. A lot of those people that are in the military are young, so they don't have a lot of credit. Maybe they haven't financed a car before, so they're not afforded good rates when they go to get a car. They go to a note lot, a buy-here, pay-here lot. They pay a much higher interest rate, and the military is wanting to make sure that their people are protected. That being said, now we've got a huge panel that's been assembled that is asking about regulating every kind of car dealer there is and what regulations need to be put in place. So it's sort of a little bit of overkill. Mm-hmm. It started with one little area and has grown a great deal. Now, the panel did sort of acknowledge that they didn't even know if they should be there. They didn't know what needed to be regulated that wasn't currently being regulated, or if they would be doing anything at all once they'd finished all this work. Panel was held in Detroit, and there were people from the Federal Trade Commission there. The head of the National Automobile Dealers Association was there. The counsel for the National Automobile Dealers Association, Tom Hudson, actually sat on the panel, along with a number of consumer advocates. And the consumer advocates were all against auto dealers, and auto dealers were terrible. Certainly, the people from NADA were all for auto dealers and said that there didn't need to be any further regulation. But I think the interesting thing for me were the questions that were asked, and they started off pretty innocuous. What types of financing and leasing are offered to consumers today? Who are the typical consumers that take advantage of each type of product? Well, there's not an answer for that. There's no typical, but it's an innocuous question. It gets a little better. What practices involving motor vehicle dealers raise consumers' protection issues? How prevalent are these practices in the industry as a whole or in any subset of the industry? Now, you got to realize these are government folks. They're getting a little more pointed. Now, do dealers engage in yo-yo financing? No one knows what that is unless you're in the business.
I was just about to say, what is that?
What that means is you've gone into the dealer and you've agreed on a car and agreed on a price, and they go ahead and give you the car to take home, and then maybe it's too late, maybe it's on Saturday, they send it to the bank on Monday, And if it doesn't get approved, then the dealer has to call you back and say, hey, I'm sorry, your loan didn't get approved.
Mm.
Now, a lot of dealers, it's called a spot delivery. A lot of dealers do that. We don't do it in our business, but we're a leasing company. It's a little different. A lot of dealers do it. It's not intended to be malicious or bad in any way. And most of the time, it's not even an issue. But sometimes it is. So yo-yo financing. And they describe it in sort of prejudicial terms, like it's a bad, bad thing. It's just sort of a fact of business. If you want to drive the car home, that's fine. But you have to realize the financing hasn't been in place yet. And they'll get you to sign a form acknowledging that. That wasn't really brought out in the panel, the fact that people are informed about it.
Right, because just then it made it sound like it was going to be, you know, here's what we're giving you, and you yank it back. Never mind, here's what you get.
Exactly. So, and it's sort of downhill from there because the questions became more pointed and more prejudiced as the panel went on. But I think the crux of the matter was at the very, very end of the panel, and it was, do military personnel or their families face unique consumer protection concerns when purchasing motor vehicles? And then they ask, do or can these concerns impact their military readiness?
So if this,
now, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I guess I'm confused, because if this is a panel to help the military, why are those questions so bad?
Well, it's not that they're bad. It's just that they're sort of crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no one really considers whether someone's in the military or not when they sell them a car.
That's true.
They're selling a car.
Right.
And they look at their credit. And if they don't have credit or if they have really poor credit, they're probably going to pay more in interest because they're a higher risk loan.
There's not like a military discount, right? For veterans or anything?
Well, in some cases, there are military discounts. Some manufacturers do offer military discounts. So there are discounts in place. But again, this whole thing started because the military was concerned about people buying cars, you know, people on the military bases buying cars and having to pay more higher interest rates than, say, somebody that's not in the military and has established credit and has bought cars before. So it's sort of a typical sort of a government kind of deal, you
wow.
know? Anyway, I will be glad to report back to you all once they have the panel on leasing, because I should be sitting on that panel representing the leasing industry. So we'll find out what they say when it comes to leasing, if they have that panel, because they haven't scheduled it yet.
Will it be in Detroit
hopefully not. No, the next panel will be in Washington, D.C., and the third location has not been decided. I suggested Dallas.
Yeah.
Because I can just drive.
Right.
You know, I don't have to fly somewhere.
You don't have to pay for a hotel room. Don't have to go through airport security.
They don't usually take suggestions from like me, though. So
right. We'll
see where they schedule it. Wherever it is, I'll be there.
Your feedback is good. But as far as your travel concerned, sir, we're not worried about that so much. All right. The last thing I want to get into here in the final moment of the show is Toyota is in trouble again with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's just crazy. A couple in Michigan hit a deer with their Toyota Corolla and the airbags didn't deploy. And now they're
Yikes.
Suing Toyota. Well, guess what? Where do you hit a deer? You clip its little legs.
Oh.
Its little legs aren't very big. It's not like running into another car. Now, the deer did flip up and hit the roof and the windshield, and did a tremendous amount of damage to the car. The people, guess what, were not seriously injured. Their lawyer, guess what, is suing Toyota.
Of course.
Because the airbags didn't deploy. if you hit a June bug, the airbags aren't going to deploy either. I'm just telling you. You got little deer legs, probably not enough impact.
Uh-huh.
Probably. But anyway, instead of being a down-the-road kind of deal and nobody worries about it, everybody jumps on the Let's Sue Toyota bandwagon, mm-hmm. and the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration says, oh my God, it could affect 170,000 vehicles.
People want to make a quick buck.
Yep.
Although if the NTSHA...
NHTSA.
NHTSA, thank you. If they didn't take action, though, you know, then people could go, oh, well, this happened in 2011 and you guys didn't do anything about it.
It just seems like they've targeted Toyota a lot. And
yeah.
I don't really care. I have no ties to Toyota or anyone else. But from just my standpoint, seems like they're getting shot at a lot.
I agree. All right, well, that's been just about our whole hour. So if you want to get in touch with AutoFlex, they're still open for your business all day long today. What are those phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Again, AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web. The other thing about AutoFlex.com, you can get a Black Book appraisal there for your car. You don't have to go anywhere else. You can go online to AutoFlex.com, put in a little information, and get an actual unbiased Black Book appraisal on your car. So if you're thinking about trading, not a bad way to find out where you stand.
You can also follow along with all the stories we talked about today on the show, and you can listen to the podcasts of this very show. Coming up next, it's going to be Wally Lynn and Greg Henson. Yay, right here. And next week, big guests for Superstars and Their Supercars.
Michael Crabtree will be with us.
I love it. Also, Gary Lott from LoJack. So be sure to stay tuned next Saturday, 9 a.m. It's the AutoFlex Leasing Show. And for David Blassingame, my name is Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive on 105.3 The Fan.